is based completely on Rabbi Jachter in Gray Matter, Volume 4, has two essays in a row on confiscating materials from students. It comes up all the time here in the high school, where a kid is, let's say, playing with an iPod or something like that, or his phone or whatever, and there are school rules that you're not allowed to play with your phone during class, and it's very disruptive to the learning, obviously. So to what degree does a teacher have the right? I know when I was growing up, if a Rebbe wanted to confiscate something, he would always say something like, oh, my kids are going to love this toy, and, you know, as if it's something he's going to take away, and it's okay and fair and right for him to then give it to his children. So the question is that, I mean, that's obviously wrong, but, you know, to discuss what exactly the issues are. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches, Amud Aleph tells us, it's a famous Rashi and Chumash as well, that the Dor HaMabul, that their fate was met because of the sin of stealing. It was because of stealing that the whole Gzardin happened against the Dor HaMabul. So it's obviously a very serious Avera. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Kineva, Vaveda Parak Aleph Halacha Beis, and this Kordon Shulchan Aruch in Choshmish, but Simin Shin Mem Ches, that a person is not allowed to steal even the smallest amount, and even if you're just doing it as a joke, it's not meant seriously, you're just taking something from a person, and even if you're going to give it back later, you're just taking it temporarily, which would be confiscating stuff from students, would seem to definitely fit that category of taking something, assuming you're not going to give it to your kids, you're going to give it back at the end of class, but still, you're taking something away from somebody, and you're planning on giving it back later. Rabbi Yehuda Henkin, in his Tshuvas B'nei Banim, Chelik Beis, Simon Mem Zayin, very strongly argues that a teacher should not be authorized to ever take something from a student, and that it's an issur of Geneva. It's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, that you're taking something temporarily. Rabbi Jachter tries to make the argument that the majority of poskim would reject such a shita, and that teachers are in fact authorized to take things, provided that they do give it back after class is over, or whatever the school rules are. One potential raya that may relate to this is a Mishnah Maseches Midos. The Mishnah Maseches Midos says that the Ish Har Habayis, the guy who was in charge of the Har Habayis, would check on the guards and make sure that they were awake. And any guard who didn't get up when he would walk by, he would say Shalom Alecha. And if it was obvious that the guy was sleeping, the Ish Har Habayis would hit the guard with a stick, and he would also have permission to burn the guy's clothing. And as a way of motivating him to get moving. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says that the brother of his mother was once found sleeping on the job, and they burned his clothes. So that apparently was a Maisa Shaya, that's what they would do. So the Tiferes Yisrael, and Mishnah says that why would they burn the clothing? Because the clothing was what they would use to warm themselves up so that they could sleep properly. We're not talking about burning all their clothing. It was like their cover, their outer coat. So you burn the outer coat, and now they're not going to be able to sleep. So he would take away the distraction that prevented the guard from guarding, the distraction being the cover that enabled him to sleep. So perhaps one could say that the same would be true of an educator, that you're trying to educate the kid. The kid has a distraction. It's an iPhone. It's getting in the way. So you're allowed to burn the iPhone or get rid of it in order to enable him to focus more, to focus better. Now, you have to strongly question the metzias. If you take away a kid's iPhone, the chances are the entire rest of the class, all he's thinking about is how much he hates the teacher because he took away his iPhone. He's not thinking about, oh, now that distraction's out of the way, now I should be able to learn and focus properly. So obviously it requires a little bit of chachma. Rav Henkin thinks that this is not a raya at all, and he says that was dafka with special rishos based in that they had the right to do that, but it doesn't mean that anybody has the right to do that in any circumstance. Second possible raya is a Gemara Makas Tav Chesam Beis says that a teacher has the right to hit a child. So maybe you can make kavul chomer. If a teacher has the right to hit a child, so kavul chomer, he should be able to take away some of the child's possessions. So whether you hold that's a kavul chomer, you know, that's the issue, whether you hold that's a kavul chomer or not. One could argue that it's not a kavul chomer at all. Some people are willing to take a little bit of a beating and not to lose their iPhone. They're willing to suffer a little bit to save their iPhone. Other people, maybe the hitting is a worse punishment. Anyway, we don't hit kids anymore nowadays, and it's not recommended at all for teachers to hit students nowadays. That's not the style. Why is it not the style? Because A, it's illegal, and B, it's counterproductive. It's not gonna get the kid to learn better. It'll get the kid to despise the teachers and to hate Frumkeit and to hate, you know, whatever, to hate the yeshiva, to hate the school. So you have to evaluate if confiscating materials is going to do the same. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, a third possible source that may relate to this, Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat, Simen Reish Lamed Aleph, Si'if Chav Ches, based on Gemara Bava Basra, gives a very important rule. The Gemara talks about if you have people who are members of a trade union, when they make their own rules, like they agree that, you know, you're only allowed to sell on Mondays and Wednesdays, and someone else is allowed to sell on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they make within their group a rule that anyone who doesn't abide by the rule is going to have to pay a penalty, or we're going to confiscate his trade materials for a couple of days or for a week or something. So then everyone has to abide by those rules. If they all are part of the union and they all agree to those rules, so that everyone has to abide by the rules that they agree to. So that's only if everyone agreed at the beginning to those rules. So I know in our school here in DRS, we have a student handbook, and each kid has to sign that he read and agreed to all of the rules in the student handbook, and the parents have to sign. And part of the rules are that if your kid has a phone in school out during class, so you are agreeing to the fact that the teacher has the right to take it away and it will not be returned until the following day, that it's going to be taken away for a period of 24 hours, which to take a kid's cell phone away for 24 hours is the equivalent of taking away his oxygen for 24 hours. It is an extremely painful thing for a high school kid to go through, but he's agreed to it. So it seems pretty pashut that Rabbi Henkin is going to have a hard time explaining why that would be a problem, why that would be us. It seems pretty pashut that if everyone is maskim, everyone agrees to a certain rule, then it certainly would be permissible. Question is, if there's no such rule, that people did not necessarily agree to it, so can you assume, based on what standard practice is, that it's ki'ilu they agree, that when I agreed to go to this school, standard practice, that it's ki'ilu I agree to all the rules. So that's a much more debatable point. But then you have a whole other issue that comes up, is what if the teacher confiscates something, and this happens, unfortunately, a lot of times, the teacher will confiscate something, and he'll lose it, or it will get stolen, or a teacher will put it somewhere and forget about it, or forget whose phone is whose, or something like that, and only one of them is there, and they confiscate it from two kids. So now what do you do? Is the teacher responsible to pay for it? I was always very mocked. If I didn't want a kid to play with something, I would tell him, please pick it up and put it on my desk where you'll see it. I didn't take it away from him. He put it there so that it was out of reach, so it wouldn't bother him. I'll say, you just pick it up on the way out of the room. I never wanted to take any achrayus for it. Let the kid take it on the way out of the room. Now I teach in a room that doesn't have cell phone reception, so I don't have any problems. But anyway, this is a major issue. What it would likely boil down to is whether the teacher has a din of a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. Rabbi Jachter quotes from a Rav Dasberg, I'm not sure who that is, who believes that the person who's watching the item is the teacher, is a shomer, he's a shomer sachar, because the teacher gets paid to teach, and he doesn't just get paid to teach, he gets paid for all different components of his job. And one of the components of his job is to take away kids' stuff and give it back to them at the end of the day. That's part of what he has to do in order to get kids to learn. Mela, it's like a schir yom. He's hired by the school to do whatever the school needs him to do to get kids to learn that day. It's not just the malacha of teaching that he's getting paid for. He's getting paid for everything, and therefore he's a shomer sachar. He quotes, however, Rav Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov from volume 19 of Tchumen, who says that no, that the teacher is a shomer chinam, because the teacher is paid to teach. He's not paid to do other things, and therefore he's a shomer chinam. So big nafkamina between a shomer sachar and a shomer chinam. Shomer sachar is chayiv on gnev v'aveda. Shomer chinam is pater on gnev v'aveda. He's only chayiv on pshia. So this would be a huge nafkamina in terms of the teacher's responsibility to pay. Now, what do you do if you have a machlok saposkim? So either you paskin, you figure out what you really hold the teacher is. So I would have thought for sure it's shomer sachar. It's all part of the teacher's job. Everything the teacher does in the building is part of the teacher's job. I don't hear the svara at all that it's shomer chinam. Rabbi Jachter thinks it's a safek. machlok saposkim, so it's a safek. And if it's a safek, you can't be motzi mom miyad a muchsak. So whoever's muchsak in the money gets to keep the money. The teacher's muchsak in the money. Maybe the teacher is going to be putter from paying. That's Rabbi Jachter's suggestion. Another factor to take into account is the din of bailavimo. The psukim in Chumash and Shmos Perachav Beis tell us that if someone is a shomer and you have the owner with you, you hire the shomer along with the object, so then you're potter from anything that happens to that object. This is Paskin Chosha Mishpat Simon Shin Mem Vav, based on the Gemara Vav Metzia Daf Nun Zayin. So the rules of a teacher and a student, Shulchan Aruch is very clear in Simon Shin Mem Vav, that it depends whether who gets to decide what the curriculum should be. If the teacher gets to decide what the curriculum should be, then the students are considered by Levima. They're considered lent to him under his domain. If the students get to decide what the curriculum gets to be, then the teacher is by Levimo. The teacher is considered lent to the students. So it could be that in today's school, since the teachers and the administration decides the curriculum, so it's as if the students are by Levimo, and therefore maybe the teacher would be putter from any damage for that reason. But you could argue teacher doesn't set the curriculum, the government sets the curriculum. You know, you're trying to, depending on what class it is. So for Limudei Kodesh, we set the curriculum. For Limudei Chol, the government sets the curriculum. We just live up to whatever curriculum they set. But maybe, okay, you have such a din of a Bai Levimo. Another factor to take into account is what if the children, it's not a high school, but it's an elementary school, so the children, they're Ketanim, Shulchan Aruch Pasuk Choshemishpat Simin Sadivav, that a Shomer, when you're watching something for a katan, you're potter from any sort of damage that happens to it. And the shach says that doesn't apply to pshia, though. That if you're pshia, you would still have to pay for it. Bottom line, at the end of the day, teachers need to be very careful not to damage, ruin, or lose it. They should be, part of their job is to be organized. And if they're going to confiscate, even by school rules, so you bring it straight to the office, to whoever's in charge of documenting who, what belongs to who. Over here, it's a very organized system. Rabbi Emerson is on top of everything, and things don't get lost in that way. And it would seem that if everyone agreed and signed on to it, then it's a no-brainer that we're authorized to do it as per the agreement, as per all the parents and the children agreeing, and that certainly we should make every effort, and we do make every effort, not to lose anything that we take away.